Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now. Right now, you can get $5 off one of their shave sets, including the limited edition Father's Day set. Just go to harrys.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 302, May 31st, 2017. Valerie gives the totals of the special event stations. Good evening, everybody. I'm back in Pleasant Hope, and we're here with all of our friends, and we're going to bring you Ham Nation, the 302nd program. Amazing. We made it through the number 300 and 301, and here we are on 302. And boy, have we got a lot of fun things here. Joining us, of course, is George, the old smoking solder. George, how you doing, George?
I'm doing pretty good, Bob, and I had to solder an iron on earlier today. Always a big time there. And I want to thank you. Last night, I decided to get on 20 meters and work a few more contacts there. And you were clearing just about the time I got on, so the band was nice and warm.
Yeah, we had fun, didn't we? That's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, we're going to get into that because Valerie's here. She'll say hello for a minute, and then she's going to come back and give us all the totals. First, how's your internet? You okay? Everything all right there, Valerie?
A-okay for now. My internet keeps going up and down, so hopefully I'll last through my segment here tonight. So we're doing good. Very windy. But the radios and the antennas still work, so that's a good thing.
They're all vertical, right? You don't have any towers laying horizontal. Oh, boy. Well, Gordo is not here tonight. Wait a minute. Maybe. Let's look again. I think Gordo might be here. Switch the other camera around. Gordo is here. Look at that. He looks a little deflated.
You know, they did this stuff. Yeah, he does. He looks a little. They did this for me at the Ham Nation booth, and they were calling it Flat Don on a Stick. So this is Flat Gordo on a Stick, but it's also Flat Gordo on a Chip Stick. So that's the FGOACS, Flat Gordo on a Chipstick. Somebody hashtag that for me. Let's make that a trending Twitter topic. We'll get into some short shots here in just a sec. But exciting stuff. Got a few incoming Ham Nation 300 QSL cards already. So as soon as the lovely Amanda gets us our cards for outgoing, because she's the one doing the printing, we'll get to sending those things out. It's exciting. I can't wait. This is so much fun. We're wrapping it up tonight, and man, this has been a fun thing. It's fun to be on the pointy end of a pileup, Bob. Sure is.
We're going to bring Valerie in right now because of her internet while she's got things happening. Valerie, let's hear what you've discovered and how many stations we worked and all that good stuff from the contest queen of Central Illinois.
Well, obviously, there's a lot of us on the air. I don't want to count, but it's like 13 or 14 here. But we're at almost 9,000 contacts. So maybe if we're all on the air tonight, we go till midnight tonight Central. So you still have time to get us. Hopefully, a lot of us will be asking for people who just need us for the clean sweep to come forward so we can make sure you guys get your clean sweeps. But we might make it to 10,000. And boy, the pileups have been crazy. I mean, insane. So please be patient as we try to work you. We're trying our best. And sometimes you can't even pull one letter out of that noise. It's just insane. Even Jerry, who's been on top 10 most wanted de-expeditions, he said these are the kind of pileups he hears, yet he gets to do split and spread it out. So it's a lot of fun being on this end, but please be patient as we try and get as many of you guys in the log as we can. And it doesn't have to end there, because after tonight, after midnight, we have our Ham Nation 300 challenge. Now, I just went to our Ham Nation Facebook page, and I published the Ham Nation challenge. So maybe you can print that out. And I left little boxes there for you to check them off as you go, or fill in the points as you go. And you can earn a certificate, a bronze, silver, or gold certificate, depending on how many points you get. You need to get to at least 300, obviously, because it's our 300th episode we're celebrating. And then the top three points, people who get the top three scores, we're going to bring them back on Ham Nation as a guest on one of our shows. So that's something you can shoot for. There's simple things like liking us on Facebook, all the way up to upgrading your license or getting your license. So there's something in there for everybody. And it has to do with what we talk about on the show and what we teach on the show. So it's sort of in the spirit of what the show is all about. So look for that on our Ham Nation page. We'll try and get that on the wiki page and I think the 40Net website. So, and it's on all our QRZ pages as well, all our special events, but we won't have those forever. So that's that. And so I'll head it back to you, Bob.
Well, here's a little bit of what went on here this last night. Check it out. Okay, there we go.
Pick out one of you. This is K9EID.
And
I am in central New Hampshire, Bob. Pleased to make your acquaintance. I have you an honest 5-7, 5-7, and the pileup is 20 over.
It's pretty crazy, isn't it? What's your name?
My name is Clayton, C-L-A-Y-T-O-N.
5-7 in Sun City, Arizona, Bob. How's everything with Dr. Bob?
We're good, and good there, right? We missed you this weekend.
Yeah, well, I got higher priorities from the master.
Come here and have fun. So let's, if you've ever wondered what it's like on the other end of a de-expedition, you are. This is K9EID in the Ozarks having too much fun, and I'm listening for you.
K9EID, K7MX.
See, when you have big antennas and big signals, you get on top of it. K7MX, how you doing?
November W0 Charlie.
Oh, I thought we'd play a little of that. Let some of you, if you didn't get in the last few days, you need to do that. You still got some time after the show and join in on that. But it's quite refreshing. 3 or 4 hours of that. I don't know. Well, we want to go hear some news first before we get into some of the other things. George has got some nice video. We got some great video from Dale that Dan did at the convention and some other wonderful things. And then we're going to get back to the Pine Board. So many people, what's happening with that? Well, we're ready to roll here. But first, we got to find out what's going on here. So, Don, let's hear what's going on with Newsline.
All right. Why don't we go ahead and do that then? Here's Newsline from Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2065, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, May 31st, 2017. We have a Hamvention wrap-up from Stephen Kinford, N8WB, our man on the scene in Xenia. And, of course, there's way too much to be featured in this short headline segment, so check it out on this week's full Amateur Radio Newsline Report. What is the essence of ham radio? Well, of course, it's people. The Virginia Special Olympics is offering a special opportunity for amateurs who want to really make their on-air time count for people. Amateur Radio Newsline's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
If you've ever known someone who's been involved with Special Olympics, you know just how uplifting of an event it can be. But it doesn't go on without a lot of logistics and support personnel, and quite often, amateur radio is part of that staff. The Virginia Special Olympics are coming up on June 9th and 10th of this year, and they are looking for additional help. I spoke with Matthew Kimball, K4MTK, about how hams can help.
Well, I started about 8-9 years ago, actually. I got involved in amateur radio then, and it kind of just fell into my lap, to be honest. From the first time I volunteered, it hits you, being around these athletes who have no fear. They show nothing but love. We're looking for amateurs that would like to participate locally at the events. We've got three different venues that we provide amateur radio support at.
They are even offering incentives for out-of-the-area hams.
Best way to reach out to us is through rvahams.com. You can go to the events tab for Special Olympics. If anybody's from the Northern Virginia, Eastern Virginia, wherever you would like to come out and participate, we'll be more than happy to get hotel rooms for them.
DXing and contesting is fun, but it's events like this that show the community at large what ham radio is really all about. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
We at Amateur Radio Newsline are delighted to congratulate one of our own.
Amateur Radio Newsline would like to congratulate one of its own. Correspondent Mark Abramovich, NT3V, whose reports you may have heard on some of our newscasts. In addition to working hard as part of the Newsline team, Mark is active in scouting, as he has been for most of his life, having achieved status of Eagle Scout in 1973. Becoming an Eagle Scout is a difficult challenge. It's an honor that only a small percentage of scouts get to achieve. On May 18th, Mark, who considers himself an Eagle Scout for life, received another honor, the Outstanding Eagle Scout Award of the National Eagle Scout Association. He was recognized for his devotion to public service and for upholding the values and tradition of the Boy Scouts of America. We at Amateur Radio Newsline already know personally Mark's selfless work, not just on the air, but behind the scenes. Mark also chairs the committee that selects each year's winner of the Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. Although some might say this kind of devotion comes naturally to hams, we know with even greater certainty it comes naturally to Mark, a professional journalist whose talents and generosity have served Newsline so well over the years. Congratulations, Mark Abramovich, NT3V, from all of us at Newsline.
Speaking of Young Ham of the Year, if by some chance you're still waiting to nominate a young radio amateur for the 2017 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Young Ham of the Year Award, you literally have hours left. Nominations close May 31st, and your entry must be received electronically or, if mailed, postmarked no later than the 31st. You can find the nominating form on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. We'll present the award at the Huntsville, Alabama Hamfest in August. For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Paul Brown, WD9GCO, Jim Dameron in 8TMW, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We're coming down off the high from that huge Memorial Day storm we had just a few days ago, but the sun's not done yet. It just launched a solar storm that'll probably go east of us, and there's a new sunspot rotating into view, and boy, it's already angry. Those stories and more in the news this week. The space weather's been very fun this week. Aurora photographers, I'm sure, are still going through their pictures. But wait, there's more. The sun just launched another filament. This was back on the 30th. It looks like it's going to go east of Earth, but we might see something from it here in the next couple days. On top of that, right on its heels, we've got a sunspot that's rotating into Earth view. It's actually a pair of sunspots that have been very busy on the backside. They've already fired off a solar storm, and they're firing off flares. So we might start getting some more flare activity. Switching to our M-Flare threat meter, you can see we've been still pretty quiet. We're sitting well below the seafloor, and things have just been lumbering along. We did get a little bit of C-class activity from region 2659 before it rotated around the backside. We thought that was going to be it. But this new region that's rotating onto the east limb and into Earthview, that has actually brought the activity back up. We're now beginning to see C-class flares again, so you amateur radio operators can expect a little bit of noise on the bands. Switching to our solar storm conditions, you can see going into last weekend, we were pretty quiet. We had a lot of aurora photographers who were disappointed at that solar storm fizzle from about a couple weeks back. But then we had this new solar storm that had got launched. We weren't expecting much, but when that core of the storm hit, bam, it hit hard. This thing jumped up to a G3 level. We had aurora clear down to mid-latitudes, and it lasted for like 12 solid hours. Got some amazing aurora that we'll show you in a second. But when it turned off, it turned off. And things kind of got quieter and quieter, and they're going to continue to be this quiet over the next few days. And the aurora views from this storm were spectacular and unexpected because the storm was so slow. In Europe, it reached all the way down to the Netherlands. And in Australia, it reached all the way up to Melbourne. Now, once the core of the storm hit, it exploded all over the United States. We saw it as far south as New York and in Wyoming. It even reached Arizona and Central California. And here's a special treat for those of you 30,000 amateur radio operators who were at Hamvention just a week ago. We missed it by 1 week. These were the views in Cleveland, which is only 20 miles north of Dayton, Ohio. Switching to our solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are coming down from that huge solar storm. At high latitudes, NOAA's expecting only unsettled conditions until we get to about the weekend when we get a chance for active conditions and maybe even a small possibility for a minor storm conditions due to this small coronal hole that's going to be giving us a little bit of fast wind, but it won't last long. At mid-latitudes, we're still expecting unsettled conditions with about a 20% chance of active conditions, and that should last through the weekend before things begin to calm down. Switching to our solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, we are seeing that pair of active regions rotating into Earth view, and they are beginning to pop off flares. So NOAA is giving us about a 5% chance for an M-class flare, but this could change as we continue monitoring these regions. The nice thing is that it's also increasing this amount of solar flux, so you amateur radio operators should enjoy a little bit better propagation on the bands, although they're probably going to be noisy with all this little popping and popping of flares. So the space weather this week is kind of quieting down and quieting down just a little bit, but the sun remains busy. Now, it did launch that solar storm that's likely going to go east of us, but we might get a little bit of wake from that storm in around the weekend. So we're kind of watching that along with some fast wind from a very small coronal hole. So around the weekend, things might get a little bit dicey, but it shouldn't be too bad. Now, we're also watching some active regions that are rotating onto the east limb, and they are firing off some flares, and we're seeing even some C-class flares. So amateur radio operators expect a bit of noise on the bands. It could be kind of, you know, bothering you a little bit, but shouldn't be too bad. And you GPS operators, things may get a little bit strange, especially around the dawn dust terminators. But outside of that, things should be pretty good this week. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Always nice to have Dr. T back with her expertise, and she was the absolute darling of Hamvention in the Ham Nation forum, and she was in the youth forum and the instructors forum as well as the antenna forum with Tim Duffy. And if you missed it, you can go online and check out the antenna forum, probably on YouTube, or check it out at dxengineering.com or on I believe contestuniversity.com might even have some information on that. But nonetheless, it's all on there, and it was so good seeing her. And Dr. T, thank you so much for being part of what we do. Now, I did not shave today. I'm not sure why. I normally do, but I didn't. And I tell you what, I'm kind of missing it. So, you know, if I'm going to talk about Harry's, I need to look sharp. I need to look sharp if I'm going to talk about Harry's, because, you know, Harry's is all about having the clean clothes shave and baby-faced flat Gordo on a chipstick that just don't get no more manly than that. Oh, wait, maybe it just did. Anyway, this episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Harry's. Not Flat Gordo, but by Harry. Happy Father's Day. Father's Day is right around the corner. My favorite holiday. And dads are, of course, very difficult, if not impossible, to shop for. I hear that every year. And it's hard to find something that feels special, but that he will actually use. Fortunately, our friends over at Harry's have a special offer that you're going to love, and Dad will too. Get $5 off one of their shave sets, including the limited edition Father's Day set. Now, what makes Harry's the perfect Father's Day gift for your dad? Well, because every man likes a clean, close shave. Even guys like me who have a little bit of facial hair, it's always nice to take that part that you don't want covered in hair. You want a nice, clean, close shave, especially if you're going to go out someplace special. Say you've got a Father's Day date night, or you got a father and son day going out doing something. And you want to feel nice. You want to look nice. You want to feel special and do something special for yourself on Father's Day. And I tell you what, there's nothing more special than a nice hairy shave. So you can get two sets. Get one for yourself and give one to your dad, or to your grandfather, or maybe to your son. Mine's 17. He's getting to be of shaving age. I gave him a Harry's set. He's just got to learn how to use it now. But that will be a bonding moment, another father-son bonding moment. Here's what makes Harry's a great shave at a fair price. 5 German-crafted blades with a flex hinge and lubricating strip. 100% quality guarantee. They will give you a full refund if you're not happy. $2 a blade or less, which is half the price of the leading 5-blade razor brand. And Harry's shave sets start at just $15. Very affordable. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. You get the razor handle, the moisturizing shave gel, 3 of Harry's 5-blade precision-engineered razors, and the limited edition Father's Day set comes with a storm gray razor handle, a chrome razor stand, foaming shave gel, 3 replacement blades, and a travel cover. Plus, comes in a sleek, giftable box with the option to add custom engraving and a personalized card for free. So give the gift of a great shave on Father's Day. For a limited time, go to harrys.com/hamnation. You get $5 off your Harry shave set. That's harrys.com/hamnation. $5 off of one Harry shave set. And Harry's, we thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. Go and get you one of these. I tell you, you're going to love it. I'd say something else that they have. Now, this isn't in the ad copy, but they had this stuff. I love this. This is the Daily Face Wash. It has, I don't know if it's a pumice or if it's ground up walnut shells or something, but it's slightly abrasive, and it is a cooling peppermint and eucalyptus. And it will exfoliate your skin, and plus it'll take all the oil off. And let me tell you something. This in the shower, oh my, it is the best. So when you go to harrys.com, look for that. It's the only thing I think they have that's in the white. But nonetheless, I know it's all blown out from the light. But it's the Daily Face Wash. You're going to love it. Promise you will. Dale is a Harry's man. Aren't you, Dale? I know you are, because I saw you at Dayton, and you were absolutely gleaming.
Okay, well, very good. We're going to gleam tonight, and we're going to move it real fast. On the video segment, one more video from Hamvention came from Dan in 9LVS. And we've got a short tutorial from Dan, too, for the technicians who just became generals. Let's kick it off with the comprehensive video Dan prepared for us from the Dayton Hamvention. Here's Dan. He's in 9LVS.
Welcome to Dayton Hamvention 2017. No longer at the Hare Arena, but at the Greene County Fairgrounds in Xenia, Ohio. The gates open right at 9 a.m. to a very eager crowd. Center stage this year was ICOM showing off its new 7610, as well as the new IC7300. Yaesu was showing off the 991A, and Kenwood was showing off the TS990. Elenco was showing off their DMR radio. Not to be outdone, Flex Radio was showing off their brand new 6600. And Elecraft was showing off their K-line. And if you wanted to pick up some ham gear, all the major vendors were there, including DX Engineering, that were not only showing you the ham gear that was available, but a friendly staff that showed you how to use it. Ham Radio Outlet was also showing off quite a bit of gear. And they even had 2 locations on the grounds, and very knowledgeable people as well. Another place that was very busy was Gigaparts, with every gadget and gadget available. And R&L had stacks of ham radio equipment available. The American Radio Relay League had a large presence at Hamvention 2017, with a lot of folks there from the ARL staff. Also, Gordo and the W5YI group had a great display of their manuals and study guides. And Bob Heil was there from Heil Sound with all his microphones and headsets that can make you sound better to everybody else, and headphones so you can hear everybody else better. And there was a nice little area for the News Line and Ham Nation crew to hang out. And it looks like Don and Hammy are having a great time. Speaking of Ham Nation, there was also a Ham Nation forum that was very well attended. And most of the Ham Nation hosts were there. There were several other forums as well, including the ARRL forum. And Bob had a great little forum on Receive Audio. Tom, W5KUB, had a booth there as well, where he was live streaming right from Hamvention. Tom also had a guest, Colonel Doug Wheelock, astronaut from the space shuttle, who spent some time answering some questions in the W5KUB chat room. iPortable was showing off their nifty Go cases. And what's a Hamfest without nuts and bolts showing up? And Tapper was there as well to show off some of the new digital stuff. And Tower Electronics not only had an inside booth, but an outside booth as well, with every little adapter that you could possibly want. And MFJ had a huge display. Everything from clocks to tuners to amplifiers, you name it, MFJ probably builds it. And then when it comes to antennas, iGain, Krishcraft, and Hustler were all there as well. And JK Antennas had a huge display. And Wolfer Recoils was there as well, with their mobile and portable antennas. There was also the Aero antenna, with a vast assortment of antennas. And M-Squared was also there, with some of their really neat products. And Diamond Antenna had a nice display for both their mounts and their antennas. And if you need wire, the Wireman's the man to see. And Quicksilver Radio had a boatload of accessories as well. And Batteries America, if you got that battery that you just can't find, they probably have it in stock. And if you need an interface for your radio, West Mountain Radio is the place to go. And AMSAT has all the satellite stuff you'd ever want to know. And boy, was the sign man booth busy. And for one of the best Morse code keys around, Bengali, where you can tap some real brass. And the Collins boys actually had a booth at Hamvention to answer all your questions about vintage Collins gear. And I found these little communicators in one of the booths. Talk about restoration. Wow. And last but not least, look who we caught in the Radio Waves booth. And that was Dayton Hamvention 2017. I hope you've enjoyed this video. And 7-3 from N9LVS.
Thanks, Dan. That's a great job one more time. And Dan also does a super job maintaining the wiki for Ham Nation and also the hamnationvideos.info website. By the way, you can go to that URL anytime to watch any of the videos we've had on past video segments. If you're a technician and you've only operated on the local repeaters, you're probably not too familiar with the history and the proper use of the CQ call in amateur radio. Well, Dan put together a video just for you.
This video is how to call CQ. So you just passed your general exam. Congratulations. Now you have a call sign with an AG behind it, temporarily. So you go out and get the nice piece of radio equipment that you've been looking at online. You and your buddy put up an antenna, and you're going to show them all what ham radio is about. So you turn on that new radio, and you call CQ, 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 and nobody comes back. So it didn't work the first time. Let's try it again. And you do the same thing. CQ, 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 CQ. And again, no response. While this worked during field day, all I had to do was call CQ, and I made all kinds of contacts. What's wrong? Could it be the radio? Could it be the antenna? I tried twice. Must be something wrong with the equipment. Check that out. Everything checks out. Let's try this again. Turn on the radio. Call it again. CQ, 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 CQ. Still, nothing heard. So we switch bands. Maybe that's the problem. We get in another band, and we hear somebody calling CQ Europe, CQ Europe. So we're going to talk to him. So we respond to his CQ, and he doesn't even come back. He starts talking to some other guy from another country. And heck, he's only two states away. He should be able to hear me. So there has to be something wrong with the radio. Or maybe I'm just doing it all wrong. And why am I calling CQ in the first place? What the heck's that all about? First of all, there's a way to call CQ, and the reason we call CQ goes way back to 1904. So there's a little history. First of all, CQ originated from the French word sécurité, which means safety or pay attention. It was abbreviated by landline telegraph operators, the English version being seek you, seek you. There's also different versions of CQ, like CQDX, or Precision CQ, like CQVK, or CQ Australia. So now that we got that out of the way, how do we call CQ? One other quick thing, we need to know a little bit about propagation. If the band's not open, we can call all day long and nobody will hear us. So it's best to look at that first. If it says poor, you might as well hang up the mic for the day. But if it says the band is good, it's definitely worth trying. So for example, let's get behind the radio. It's the middle of the day. Let's see what happens on 20 meters. So we call CQ, CQ, our call sign, followed by CQ, CQ again. Now this isn't just a one-shot deal. You have to call it over and over again. New hams, I even recommend to do something like this. CQ, CQ, CQ. Your call sign, / AG, and CQ, CQ, CQ. AG indicating that you're new general class radio operator. And there's a lot of hams out there that are willing to help a newcomer. Or if you really want to get bold, call CQ, CQ, DX, CQ, DX. Your call sign, followed by CQ, 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 DX. And you might be surprised who you're talking to then. And finally, a little etiquette. Always ask if the frequency is in use before calling CQ. I usually do this about 2 or 3 times. That way, if somebody's talking that you can't hear, but there's another person that can hear you, you're not stomping over his conversation. And when you're making contacts, I always recommend following the DX code of conduct. It's pretty simple and pretty basic. Long story short, be kind to others and they'll be kind to you. And above all, have fun on the ham bands. I hope this video has been helpful. 73 and good DX from N9LVS.
Oh, very good, Dan. Well, thank you for the tidbits, the history, and the how-to of CQ for the new AG technicians who have passed their general test. Speaking of passing the test, next door at Charlie's, there's a bird who must have got his amateur extra class because he sends perfectly formed AE, AE, on and on all night long. So it's perfectly formed, da-da, dit, and just keeps on and keeps on. So anyway, that's enough of that. We've got one photo to share with you as we close the video segment. Mike, VE3MIC's created another poster for the Pine Board Project. We'll let you take a look at it as we wrap it up here. We almost have enough shack photos for the Show Me Your Shack episode, so send yours now to hamnationvideos at twit.tv. Well, the Pine Board Project with Bob's coming up next, but first we need to take a look at the latest news from ICOM. Good night, all.
Adventures await. A new radio, giveaways, and a trip to Japan. May is full of excitement at ICOM. You don't want to miss out. A compact and smart design, the ID4100A is the perfect D-Star companion for all the journeys ahead. Its intuitive interface, variety of operating modes, and Bluetooth capability make this the perfect D-Star option for adventure seekers. Integrated GPS receiver, new dot matrix display for enhanced DR mode and GPS information, terminal mode and access point mode, applications for iOS and Android devices, and a micro SD card slot for voice and data storage.
Calling all hams.
Enter the ICOM America Hams to Japan sweepstakes today for a chance to win an ICOM radio or even an unforgettable experience to attend the 2017 Tokyo Ham Fair. Make sure you come back and enter each week to be eligible for each radio drawing.
You don't want to miss out on this sweepstakes.
Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. Learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And register to win T-shirts and hats and great swag from ICOM. For this month, the radio. And today is the last day you can enter the contest for the month, so you certainly want to do that. It's going to be the new ICOM ID4100A VHF UHF entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features, does both analog and D-Star, has a built-in GPS receiver, DV and FM near repeater search functions. It has a micro SD card slot available for voice and data storage, and you can download a free Android or iOS app to use with it. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation. Sign up and good luck. And ICOM also has the Hams to Japan contest going on right now. So you definitely want to go to ICOMAmerica.com and check out the Hams to Japan sweepstakes. They're giving away radios there. And the grand prize is going to be a trip for some lucky ham to the Tokyo Ham Fair this year. Thanks, ICOM, for that. And we're looking forward to hearing who's going to be the winner of that new radio next week here on Ham Nation. And now Bob is back with the Pine Board Project. Bob, what are we doing tonight?
Well, we're going to move forward with the microphone preamplifier. I'm amazed how many guys have gone ahead. You know, I showed just a clip of that in the very first part of all of this, but many have taken it way beyond, and I'm really so thrilled that everybody's gotten so involved with the project, and there's so much to come, and we're going to take it slow because some of you guys that have already made it happen, I understand you've built a lot of stuff, but we got a lot of novice builders, and we want to be easy on them. So we're going to take it real slow and make sure that that everybody gets all their stuff together. Let me move this over here. Okay. And we're going to start out, first of all, with showing you some of the tools that need to be done. I know this is kind of silly and rudimentary, but I want to make sure that you all know about some of these things, because some guys might not know. You've got to have the right wire strippers with the right sizes. You can buy wire strippers, but they have different sizes, and you want to make sure you get them that'll cut the smaller wire. A very good pair of side cutters. You've got to have a really good pair. There's a lot of cheapies out there, but I like to do the X-Lite. They just make such good stuff, and that works well. Along with it, you must have the screwdriver of all technicians. We call it the little greenie, and you want to have that. And of course, you want to have a regular smaller Phillips and a nice straight, not very big, because we're not dealing with real large things. So you want to do that. You know about the soldering iron. We've talked about that. George will take you through some more of that here in oncoming shows. One other thing you want to do is get you some clip leads. Boy, I saw bunches of these at Dayton, and that's why you go to Hamfest, to find stuff like this that you just normally don't find. But that's the start of all of that. And one of the first things that we want to do is, before we start anything, you want to get your board together. Just I'm very lucky. I found some 11-ply finished plywood. It's about 3/8. It's really, really nice stuff. And I would do something with it. I like to use this Watco, or it's Danish oil. And all you do is I'd use a paper towel and just dab a little on and let it dry for a day or so. And then you're ready to go. And what we want to do next is, let's look at what happens. What is this all about? There is the schematic of the microphone preamplifier. Now, all of the parts are listed here. I'm going to give you a better listing here in just a little bit. But this gives you a really good indication of what we're going to do. And the whole thing is very simple. It really is. And the reason we do it on pine board is so we can lay it out and see all of the parts. The first thing I do on the board is I mount the in and out jacks. These are quarter inch nylon jacks. And I want nylon because I don't want them to be connected together in any way. And I just cemented them on the pine board. And then I mounted the tie strips. And all of that is available from Antique Electronic Supply. These are the screw terminals that the power supply is going to connect to. And this is my ground path. I made that with number 14 wire. You want to make sure that you get that right. And what happens is it gives us the correct ground path to start from. And here it is in that position. Here we go with that. And you guys can look back on these. All of these show up on our site. We're going to talk to you about that in a little bit. You'll be able to go see all of these on the site. But you see, that's the ground path. The jacks are going to mount up here. There's the connection to the power supply. That yellow and red is the filament, so on. And once you get that going, you're ready to make it happen. But what do we mean by make it happen? Well, it's the tube socket. Now, since we're working above the chassis, it's best to wire the tube socket before you mount it. That's the bottom of it. And here it is in real time. Let me do this for you. I really love building this way because you can really see what's happening and understand it a little better. Over here, there's the tube socket. In fact, I made this one up about 20 minutes ago. And following the schematic, you'll be able to make all of that happen very easily. See, there's C1 right there. Well, there's C1. And just follow all of the components from the schematic and solder them right onto the tube socket, the bottom of the tube socket. Now, after you get that all going, you can take that tube socket and mount it on the pine board. And there we are. And the tube socket, you see why we do it before, because you're not going to be able to solder it underneath. Now, there's one other little thing, and I got this. You can get some of these from Antique Electronic Supply. I get them from Lowe's. They're in the, they have those big drawers with all kinds of specialty things for car, electrical parts and so on, back with the hardware. And they're little standoffs. Little nylon standoffs. And what happens there is the tube socket has to be above the board. And I do that with this little nylon standoff. And you can get those at Lowe's. But you can also get those from Antique Electronic Supply. But once you get that together, and mount that tube socket, all of your components are coming out from the bottom, and you just take the schematic and put them where they're supposed to go. It really is quite easy when you do that. Now, here's an important part. Everybody asks me all the time, what about parts? Well, thanks to Gene, he did a really nice job putting all this stuff together for us, I tell you. W4IQN, I don't know what we'd do without him. Let me get all this up here so you can see these guys. And this is the complete parts list for the microphone preamplifier. And those parts are all followed through the schematic. And they are available from Antique Electronic Supply. I had several guys at the show at Dayton kind of get a little rough with me. Oh, you can't get these parts right. You're doing such a stupid thing. No, every part that I use is bought from Antique Electronic Supply. The only thing I didn't buy is that standoff, and you can get that from them too. But I just happen to have some of these. But these parts are available, and you can get all of them. Just take your parts list and go down and order that. We are working with them. I'm going to tell you this a little bit ahead of time. I will know later this week. We're working with them to do a kit that you might be able to just call them up and give them a number. And that we're going to make it happen one way or the other. If they don't elect to do that, we'll make that happen for you. But you could go ahead and at least get the preamp going. One of the things, and I did this some time ago. One of the things you might want to do is get an egg carton. I did a marshmallow at Easter time. I said, this is going to be pretty cool. I got an Easter egg carton, you know, and you can put your parts in here. Heat kit used to do this. They had a similar type thing. And it's a nice way to, as you put your parts in and keep them segregated so you know what's what and you'll know where to find them instead of them just throwing out on the bench. But that works out really well. And just get an old egg carton and make that happen. It's just great to be able to use things and say, wow, this isn't supposed to be used like this, but we're hams. We can make anything out of something, right? Last but not least, this is really great, and I appreciate you, Brian, so much in doing this. He's working on the George's oscilloscope pattern, so that was really great, George. Oh, wow. But what Brian did is he took all of the segments, and you don't have to watch through the whole show. What you do there is go to our HeilSound.com website, but you don't have to go through all of the ham radio pages. Go all the way down to the bottom, and you'll see the Pine Board Project. Go all through that, and there you go. Now, what's cool about this is just the segments. They're sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes 15. All the video segments are there along with Gene's great drawings, the parts list, and comments. And you can comment. And I try to answer everything. Aren't they great? Look at that. It's just great stuff that we've had. The K9 MIT chip, he's got his chip stick in there. Thanks so much to you, Chip, and all of the guys that have put into this. And we've just begun. The next thing I'm going to do is see about building an equalizer for it. We might want to put a two-band EQ in it. Very simple stuff, and you'll be able to see just how simple all this stuff is. And we can make it happen. We really can. And the good part of it is it doesn't cost very much to do it. But you're learning so much about this hobby, and that's the best part. And I'm really appreciative of everybody taking time and sending us your ideas, your thoughts, and of course, all of you. It all started with W0BVT, Richard, over in Ashland, Missouri, south of Columbia. We talk on 75 meters each morning on 3885, and we talk with his 1-watt 12AU7, and that's really cool. Get on there and work a couple hundred miles with a couple of watts. So that's pretty much it. I appreciate so much all of you taking part in this, and don't be afraid to write me a note and let me know what's going on in your project, and we'll move forward. So next week we'll get a little bit further into some of the building, and maybe about another 3 weeks, we'll fire that baby up and show you how to test it. That's another thing. So make sure you have your voltmeter handy. Don, Have you got your pine board project happening yet? Have you, you getting this going?
Not yet, but it's on my list of stuff to do. I have too many irons in the fire, Bob. Unfortunately, but it's on my list of things to do. And you've piqued my interest in that. I definitely want to do that. I did 2 years of electronics back in the late 70s in Votek, and of course, you know, we were dealing with TVs and tubes and things like that. And you've piqued my interest into learning more about that. You and watching Mr. Carlson's lab on YouTube as well, and some of the other great technical series on YouTube. But I want to tell you about this book that came in the mail today. This is the latest DX Engineering Spring Summer 2017 catalog, and this has everything you need in it to put on a killer field day station. Because you already know DX Engineering is your go-to source for all things field day. Here's a taste of what you'll find in here. To make your field day even better. If you're bringing multiple radios to field day, you might want to check out the HF multiplexers and bandpass filters from Low Band Systems. You use the multiplexers to connect multiple radios to a single multiband antenna so you can use each radio to operate on a different band, and you can do it simultaneously. This reduces equipment installation hassles, also saves money since there's no need for extra antennas and coax cables. And the multiplexers work with low-band systems, multi-stage bandpass filters. Those filters limit the RF to a single band, effectively eliminating most RF interference issues. They're sold separately, and the filters deliver the isolation demanded by the multiplexer's band input. You can't put an antenna up, especially a wire antenna or even a temporary tower or pole, without guy and antenna support rope. If yours is frayed or decayed, you need to toss it and replace it with rope, new rope, from Mastrant or Synthetic Textile Industries. They're perfect for wire antennas supporting Yagi booms and elements, as well as guying vertical antennas and antenna masts. They're non-conductive. They're made from synthetic fibers. They will not stretch. They will not collect moisture, nor will they suffer from UV degradation. The rope is stronger than other synthetic ropes of the same size. And not only is it something to keep your antenna up, it's a safety issue. You don't want any of that falling down on somebody's head. You can also use it to guy canopies and tie your tables down in high wind. And for field day, it's tough to beat the performance, versatility, and portability of wire antennas. I love wire antennas for everyday use, and they are a staple at field day. And DX Engineering's wire antenna kits have everything you need to build virtually any wire antenna type. Folded dipole, inverted V, off-center fed, Wyndham, Zep, Loop, Bazooka, whatever you want. It's all there. Multiband operation is also possible. There are several kits available. I don't know if they have bazooka kits, but you can always roll your own with the stuff from DX Engineering. But if you do want to go kit, there are several available. So visit dxengineering.com to find the perfect one for your station. Just search keyword easy build. That's easy hyphen build at dxengineering.com. And you'll have all the options there at your fingertips. And DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. If you get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, and if it's in stock, it'll be on a truck headed your way tonight. Proven products and expert advice. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. dxengineering.com/hamnation. And we thank them so much for their support of what we do here at Ham Nation. George, I got an email today from somebody asking me, how do you talk so fast when you read those ads? Well, you know, when it's a good company like DX Engineering or Harry's or whoever it is that I happen to talk about, it's easy to get excited. And when I get excited, I talk fast. So I'm just the opposite of you. You talk slow, I talk fast. And so in between us, mix the two, and we kind of have a normal person.
Well, it's like my friend Jim. You remember my friend Jim?
Yes, yes.
Jim always used to say, if you're going to do something, you got to get enthused about it.
Yes.
And I can tell you get really enthusiastic when you look at that DX Engineering catalog. And
I don't get quite as fired up as your friend Jim, but yeah, no. I get excited. Yeah. No one gets quite as fired up as, oh, look at there. There we are. It's,
boy, that is quite a combination.
Dorge. It's Dorge. Now all we need is a stick.
Oh, we do. There you go. Well, Don, thanks for that introduction there. You know, we had a great time at Hamvention this year. And, you know, I saw Don there And I saw a lot of other people, and I'm still going through the video, editing down the interviews and things that I got there. And I pulled together a few of them that we did at the Ham Nation booth this year. Some great guys there working the booth, and some Newsline folks, too, that we can finally put a face to the call sign. So let's take a look at that. Gary, how are things going in the Ham Nation booth here this afternoon?
Oh, it's a wonderful day here we're having. It's a little warm today, but we tried to get Don to talk, and he's been speechless all day. He's been working so hard. But other than that, everything's been going off without a hitch.
Well, I don't know what to make of it. I see we have a lot of alternate Dons that we could use here. So, but this one doesn't talk either.
Got a bigger head, too.
Yeah? Well, anyway, so have you had a lot of people come by the booth?
Yes, we have. We've had a lot of people. There are a good turnout today. So we're just having a fun time here with my friend Andy and handing out Ham Nation cards, getting everybody interested in being on coming on the Ham Nation.
Well, Andy, K-E-0-A-Y-J, that's a mighty nice shirt you've got there.
You want one like it? I can arrange it.
I think I've got one. Well, it doesn't look just like that, but I've got a nice red one with big flowers on it.
I got your Woody shirt, too, in the trailer, in the camper. I got the one like you wear. I've got something coming for Amanda. We saw Val this morning, got something coming for her. Bob's already outfitted, so he's got purple shoes and all that stuff. Don't need nothing for him. Don asked for one. He was moping around, you know, being his usual self. And we say, okay, Don, I'll send you one from Hawaii. We'll get you all squared away. So we've got everybody covered. But, Tommy, we got to get you one now, and we'll get him squared away with something real flowery so you can both be together on Amateur Logic TV.
You can get him one that's a little bit girly if you want to.
Okay, I'll do that just on your advice. We'll do that.
I'm sure he'll appreciate it.
Well, I'm covered because you're taking the hit for it.
Okay. All right, Andy, and good to see you.
Take care.
Thanks for the shirt, too.
You bet. Take care.
And here's Paul Braun. Did I pronounce your name right?
Either way, Brown.
Okay. WD9GCO. Paul is with
Newsline. Amateur Radio Newsline. I'm one of the anchors.
Okay. How long have you been with Newsline?
A little over a year now. I got a hold of Don Wilbanks, and for whatever reason, he had a lapse in judgment and said, come on, join us. So it's great to be able to carry on Bill's legacy, because I used to listen to Newsline back when I was a kid, when it was still the Westlink Report on our local repeater, and now I get to be part of it. That's just really cool.
I want to know, how did you get Don quiet long enough that you could do a segment on Newsline?
I honestly don't know. It's a challenge. Don's unique. The Wilbanks.
Well, Don is radio, you know, so I've been working around radio people my whole life, and so I'm used to it. I may not notice it as much as some other people do, but when you get a microphone in front of him,
he can't shut him up.
It's just not working today.
Exactly. And I watch all of your videos as well, and I love that, and Smoke and Solder is one of my favorite parts of Ham Nation, so... It's nice to meet you too. So,
well, good to meet you, Paul.
And it's been fun meeting the listeners when they come by, because especially for us, it's all audio, and we just sit in the basement and record this stuff and put it out there, and you don't get to see who's actually listening, and this puts a face to a lot of the people. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for talking with us.
You're welcome, George. Thank you.
I got another guy here from Amateur Radio Newsline that I met, been several years ago now, Kevin Trotman, N5PRE. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. How you doing, George? It's good to see you again.
Good to see you. Are you still in Atlanta?
No, I moved to Aiken, South Carolina. So I put up a inverted V, do 40 meters a lot there, but I just today bought a G5 RV and looking forward to getting that up when I get home. So.
Now, people may not recognize your voice on Amateur Radio Newsline. Why is that?
Well, I'm one of the guys behind the scenes. I do the website and the podcast. I started doing that about 11 years ago. I did it on my own without asking for permission. But I sent Bill Pasternak an email, and I told him I admitted to doing it, basically. And he says, I'm so glad you did. And so it's been, I've been part of the family ever since. He just adopted me immediately. And, man, we miss him. You know?
Bill was a great guy, and I'm glad to see y'all carrying on with his legacy.
Well, we are so happy to have the listeners out there and to be able to come to Dayton. This is my first time. I've been in Ham since 89, and this is the first time I've been able to venture this far.
Really? Yeah. Well, I guess I've been seeing you around Huntsville then in the past.
Yeah. You probably saw me there or, you know, the time that we had lunch together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you came to my town, and we ate.
Absolutely. Yeah, appreciate that, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome.
All right,
well, good to see you, and there's a lot more Hamfest to see here.
Yes, I'm looking forward to doing a little more shopping tomorrow. I got one of those cases, those polycarbonate cases. I'm going to see if I can make a go kit for my ICOM 7300, and I'm jazzed. I found it at a good price, and I'm going to get other parts for it while I'm here.
So. They ought to have everything you could possibly want here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad I came.
All right. 73, Kevin.
73,
Don. Well, then. Don, I see you got over your stage fright.
I can't believe that they did that. The Newsline people did that. I show up at the Ham Nation booth, and I look down, and there's a black trash bag with my legs sticking out from out the open bottom. I'm like, what in the heck is going on here? And I pull the trash bag off, and there's that stand-up. And then they start pulling the Flat Don on a Stick faces out. And then there's also one. Besides the big one, there's a square one that has the Brian's censored slide on it. Now, all you can see is like from my nose up, and then there's censored in black under and red underneath it. Go ahead and just throw that slide up now, Brian, because you know you're going to need it later on anyway. But yeah, so there was one with my face in the censored slide, which is just hilarious. And here are some of them. There's that. Some of these are very frightening, especially the one of me and Val. There's a couple of them. That's the scary one. Hold on that one for a sec. That's just, okay, move off now, please. Just, that's,
I love
oh my.
It. What are you talking about?
That's a good one, too. Oh, it's just, it's hilarious. Just absolutely hilarious. Yeah, I'm feeling the love. At least I think that's what they're calling it these days. But anyway, yeah. Thanks to the Newsline guys for the, that was a nice surprise. And, you know, I truly feel appreciated by them. And I hope that they feel as appreciated by me, because I truly do appreciate everybody who works on Newsline and keeping things going. You know, we're still picking up the pieces after Bill's passing, and it's been almost 2 years now. So we have a great staff, probably the best staff, I think, in the over 20 years I've been involved with it, and I couldn't ask for a better group of people. So I love you guys, and thanks.
Yeah, I had a great time visiting with them and everyone there this year. And Andy, you know, Andy gave me a really loud shirt that I'm going to wear again here one night on the show. And he was trying to get you a muumuu, but he just, I don't know, they were back ordered or something. He couldn't come up with it. But maybe in the future there, Don, you've got a new wardrobe malfunction to happen. Well, I think it's time we bail out and get Amanda in here in the chat room. Amanda, oh, you've got a co-pilot there with you.
This is yes, we named her. Oh, and now she's going to go away. She's been so calm. We named her Delta, everyone. She answers to Delta. It's going to be Delta. And if she's in trouble, it's going to be Delta X-ray, I guess. I don't know. But thanks, everyone. I can't even tell you how many people I worked on HF this week doing the special event station that were like, had suggestions for her. The next second best one, I think, was Electra. Yeah, that would have been a cool one as well. So thanks, everyone, for the suggestions. I appreciate it. She is named now. She is Delta. All right, let's move on here. I got some questions. First question, Bob, this one's going to be for you and the Pine Board Project. The question is, do you add the capacitance in series with the coax center conductor or in parallel with the inner conductor and shield?
Depends.
I think you muted yourself, Bob.
I'm not quite sure what they were, what they're talking about. They're talking about in the final, I guess. Well, don't get ahead of yourself because we're working on whether this is going to be an L or a pi. We're not sure yet. As I said, still working on that final. So don't get ahead of yourself on that just yet. But there is a capacitor in series because you want to keep that B plus off the antenna because you got a couple hundred volts coming off of the tank coil and you don't want to put that in your antenna. So yes, there's always a capacitor in series with the center conductor connector and the plate because we don't want to put a couple hundred volts on your antenna. But stand by. We got some real cool things coming up on the final. Now, it's going to be a few weeks yet, but we'll get by the preamp and get the audio working first.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Now, this question was also asked to you, Bob. This was from WB3BJU. Now, any one of you can answer this, but he says he has a two-part question. He says, and WB3, he is in Freeland. He's located in Pennsylvania. That's important to know for this question. He says, first, during the special event stations, I heard all of the special event call signs except for W1 Hotel and Whiskey 2 Hotel. Now, W1 and W2 are obviously in New York and Connecticut. He says, even when they were spotted, I could not hear him. Since they are close to my location, would it have been a propagation effect? And the second part is, would a vertical antenna have helped? Go ahead, Bob.
No, if you're trying to work somebody that close, you want to get on 75 meters and you're going to work them easily. You're not going to work them on 20 unless there's some strange things. That was what was going on one night I was on. I was hearing people that in St. Louis from here, that's only a couple hundred miles, and yet I was hearing each coast all at the same time. So that's what ham radio is all about, is you never know where the signals are going to land. But normally in that case, if I was in Pennsylvania, wanted to work the East Coast a few hundred miles up the road, I'd get on 75 meters. So, George, you agree with that? Don't you think that would be the one to do?
Oh, yeah. 75 is going to work close in like that. But I noticed the same thing you did, Bob, both on 40 meters and 20 meters. I worked neighboring states, which was really hard to believe. It's kind of unusual, but, you know, I don't know, NVIS, groundwave, or what it was, but it was bizarre. And then, you know, turn around and work Croatia. So, like you say, you never know.
Never know.
You do never know. I worked some crazy stations. I don't know about the rest of you, but just this evening, I was working 20 before I had to go get some makeup on for the show. I had Martinique contact me, Dominican Republic, and Argentina. I could not believe it. And I felt so ashamed. I was really flubbing their call signs. One was Fox Mike 5. And I kept saying, Kilo Mike 5, Kilo Mike 5, Roger. And, you know, I had no idea it was Martinique, but it was great signals. I've had such a fun time working in this special event station and listening to some of you guys work them as well. It's been these pileups. I can't, like Valerie and Jerry said, it's like a de-expedition all on its own. It's been amazing. And I've had a blast working you all and talking to you. And so many good comments about enjoying Ham Nation and thanking us for all of the things that we've done. And let me go to one more question here. And this is kind of actually a discussion, Don. But one person said, well, I'm working as a special event station. Do I also get points in the Ham Nation 300 challenge for working you as a personal call right now, or do I need to work you separately? What do you think about that, Don?
I say, why not? If somebody wants an AE5DW call and they're working Whiskey 5 Hotel, I'll send them one. So I don't see any reason why. I mean, this isn't a contest. This is for fun. You know, we have basic guidelines. We don't really have rules. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I want to share with you an interesting thing from last night when I was working 40 last night. I had a YL call me from Arkansas, And, you know, my dad is from Arkansas, and we spent some time in Arkansas when we evacuated from Hurricane Katrina. So anytime something like that comes up, that's the beauty of doing the special event versus a contest, where a contest is just, you know, 5-9, you're in the log and next, 5-9 next, 5-9 next. You can take time to stop and talk to people. And so I stopped and I talked to this lady. And I said, yeah, you know, my dad is from a little town called Snowball. You probably never heard of it. And we spent 2 weeks in North Little Rock when we evacuated for Hurricane Katrina. So the state of Arkansas has, you know, a lot of meaning to me personally. And she said, wow, well, I live like 3 miles from North Little Rock. And she said that she was very active in her church group helping the Katrina refugees. And I said, well, you know, we spent 2 weeks in a hotel up in North Little Rock. And as soon as they found out that we had a 5-year-old, it's like every day the church groups were coming and, you know, they would bring us food. They would bring toys for Tyler. They would bring money. Somebody in Target heard my wife and I talking, and I don't even remember if we said anything about the hurricane. I think they just picked up on her accent. And we only had 3 or 4 things in our buggy, but they turned around and bought it for us. I'm like, you know, that's not necessary. You don't need to know, but I want to help somehow. And just thinking about it still, it raises the hair on my arms thinking about it. And so it was very cool to talk to her and get her point of view as someone who had all these people come up to her area and who was trying to help and do her part and minister to these people, not just spiritually, but just attend to their needs, whatever they needed. And, you know, I got to tell her my point of view as one of those people who was up there in her area being helped by them. And it was a very cool moment. And it meant a lot to me. We had about a 6-minute conversation. And the cool thing about the people in this hobby and service of amateur radio is while we were talking, there wasn't another signal on the frequency. Everyone was quiet. Everyone was respectful. Everyone was listening. And as soon as I cleared with her and said QRZ, boom, the pileup started again. And it was just amazing. So I'm looking forward to getting on 40 meters again tonight after the show. And literally, I have goosebumps on my arms thinking about that. So I can't remember her call. I can't remember her name. But I hope I get to talk to her again because it was just the coolest thing. So I wanted to share that.
I bet that she remembers it and she'll let you know about it. And thank you for the story.
I certainly hope she does. I certainly hope she puts a note in with her card, because I would love to correspond with her and talk with her more, and would love to go back up there sometime and maybe meet her. That would be just so cool. Maybe go to Little Rock Campfest or something. Wouldn't it?
Now, I only have one thing to say, you guys. If you have been to Canyon City to visit here and you want to tell me on HF that you've been to Canyon City, sorry, I have QRM in the background with a dog. Please don't tell me you've spent time here in Canyon City. We're a prison town. We have 17 prisons around us, so I assume you're in prison. this is an inside joke, but...
Spending time and doing time are two different things, right?
Yes, I've done time in Canyon City. I'm like, so which really? Prison was that? Arrowhead? You know, I want to discuss it with them, try to be friendly, and they're like, no. Anyhow, just an inside joke of people. A few people had said they'd spent time here, and I thought it was very, very funny. So awesome. I've enjoyed talking to everybody. I don't have a single bad thing to say about all of these contacts we've made, except for that they just want more of us and more shows. So, Bob, there you go. More of us and more shows.
Well, it's been a wonderful week on the air. My goodness, lots of fun, and not over yet. So, turn on your transceiver right after the show, which is in a few minutes, and let's do it all again till midnight Central Time. And I bet you Valerie's already there. Oh, gosh.
We've got to beat her, you guys. Well, she's way ahead of us. Way, way ahead of us. She did a lot of work.
Well, she's an old hat at working DX, and she's got a great teacher sitting right beside her. Well, we're having a lot of fun, and get on and call us all. I don't even know where I'm going to be. I just find a spot and go, but we'll be there, and I appreciate everybody watching the show tonight. You got any questions, let us all know. be sure and realize we're on WTWW. Got that 100,000 watt flowing around the globe. So tune it in, 5.085. And it's a big signal. So that's it for now. 7-3, best regards, and bye-bye for now. This is K9EID and the entire crew from Ham Nation.
Bye, guys. Don't forget, 14 Charlie and Dew Drop In are also, they're going to be on there working the digital contacts as well. So you can find a lot of people out there. I don't know if they're having a strict net or not, but find us. I know you're distracting me, Brian, with Don's stuff. I can't talk.